Hey, this is the Wild World of Depression. Brent Bellahoo's coming at you. I'm depressed as fuck. Crazy as shit. Ugly as a snake. Mean as a snake. Ugly as fucking toilet water. Dirty, filthy hot dog toilet water. Can't even see the hot dogs floating in the breeze with the walnuts. The corn nuts, the beer nuts. Corn. Well, I'm sitting here talking about what I want to know is this virus, is it really going to, is washing your hands and staying 6 feet away from people going to really work? I don't think so, because I learned that before first grade. I didn't go to kindergarten, granted, but I learned that to wash my hands whenever I felt like it. And keep my distance from people. No problem with that. I don't need to get in anyone's personal space. But this thing is very serious. But for every case, it's about 1% of death. And I really want to get this shit back on the road. It's just too much crazy stuff staying inside all day. In fact, I'm doing this. That's how crazy it is. Shout out to my friend Jen Line. Shout out to my friend Carrie Larson. Shout. Kirk Knappack. Shout. Chris Beckler. Dear friend of mine dying from 5 to 10 different types of cancer. I hope I get to see him again. I know he's not well. His brain tumors have come back with a fury. He's also dealing with colon cancer, liver cancer, lung cancer, and cancer of the lymph nodes, that's the stuff that I guess carries things through the blood. Anyway, after that downer, this is completely unscripted. It's just me going off, and I'm kind of watching the Joe Rogan Experience in the background here, so if I stop, just forget it. I'll be watching Joe. He's the most successful audio video podcasters, whatever the hell you want to call it. And it's cool. It's cool. He's a talented dude. But talk about depression. Depression, bipolar, whatever you want to call it. It's nasty. It's very, very fucking scary. It's very scary. Right now, I am on the bottom end of my depressed episode, phase, whatever the hell you want to call it. Everything I watch on television is like it's muted, and it's ugly, and it's jagged, and craggy, and it's got all these horrible things that are hurting me. I can't even watch anything that I previously thought was funny or interesting. Yeah, I'm trying to watch Ozark, and I'm thinking, this is just horrible. These people are so depressed. Everything's bad. Something bad's going to happen. I can't watch this. Just tonight, I took twice the dose of my Xanax, which isn't much. I've gotten that down from 50 milligrams a day to 2. And I need it, because I need to take the edge off what I'm seeing and what I'm doing. The only thing that I can be counted on is when I'm out walking. I don't really feel like just crawling up in a ball and hiding under a rock. With a shovel, no, I don't even need a shovel, just using my hands. Just crawling underneath a rock with a hole underneath it, because otherwise that would hurt too much. But it's a terrible dark time, along with things that are going on. Conspiracy theories, coronavirus, whatever the fuck that is. No one really knows how it's passed. Going down at the park today, taking a walk, and there was this couple, this woman holding her scarf over her face. When I walked by, she hurry up and run to the other side. Like it matters if it's outside. Well, it might, and it might matter if it's inside. I don't know. No one knows. But don't fucking act like an alarmist, for Christ's sake. We live in North Dakota. There's one case, I think. One person may have died. I don't know. It certainly is non-discriminatory. Old people, kids, 30-year-olds, 50-year-olds, 40-year-olds. And if I get this goddamn thing, sure, can bring it on. I had the H1N1 virus years ago, and that should have killed me. That was during the Great Depression. 7 years, the lost weekend, as I like to call it. 7 years of depression that I don't remember anything. About 2006 to about 2013, not a whole lot going on. Not a whole lot going on in my head. I gained 150 pounds, and I was a tub of shit. I won't even say the number, but right now, weighing in at about a lean, svelte 175. Looking good, a lot of extra skin. Had my bariatric. I'm just going to explain this quickly. My bariatric, lost some weight, got my left hip replaced. Then my right hip need to be replaced. Could have got it done in September, but had to push it back. Sister's got surgery on her feet for the rehab, blah, November. Niece giving birth to her baby in early December, and then getting married on December 22nd. Then my doctor was on vacation for 3 weeks, a much needed break. Wonderful, wonderful surgeon. And I got hips, and my rehab for a hip is get up and start walking, you know, don't be a lazy bastard. So I got up. 9 days later, I was on the treadmill at the Y. I was white and gray, and it hurt an incredible amount, but I kept going, you know, 1.5 mile per hour, and that was as fast as I could go. But I did it, and I'm coming back stronger. This hip, strong, very strong. I've even jogged a couple miles, but I'm not going to do that anymore, because that's what got me there in the first place, was putting on too many miles, 40 miles a week for 30 years, 25 years. You know, you add up the athletic teams all through high school, all through college. Then I start doing the long distance. So yeah, it's roughly 45,000 steps. I'm talking like a Fitbit, for Christ's sake here. I'm a goddamn retard. Oh, sorry. I should say developmentally disabled. Goddamn developmentally disabled, Brent. But this is more about depression and being socially distanted. Not a word. It's very disheartening. Even when I go out and do my walks and do things, I work out in the house. I can keep myself going. I can modify a diet. I can do just about anything if I decide to try. But depression will break that down. That'll completely throw that right down the fucking hole. At any given moment right now, I can go out and eat 45 Reese's peanut butter eggs. Reese's peanut butter eggs, because it's near Easter. And by God, they're even better than the normal Reese's peanut butter cups. I like the ones around Easter. Kind of look like a pumpkin, but not really. You see, the egg is easy. But the pumpkin's difficult, though the pumpkin is delicious. I haven't had chocolate since right around 2017 in October-ish. My dear sweet mother died, and I was on a nice diet. I was being healthy, doing the Atkins thing, trying to lose weight, trying to take care of this hip. Didn't work. After my mom died, I didn't give a fuck what I ate. I don't remember anything. I don't remember any days. I don't remember anything concrete. I was a complete... I just remember walking into a room and shutting down every bit of goddamn conversation. Every bit of conversation. That's what I would do. That's what I did, and that's what I was good at. Okay, here we go. Hopefully I didn't cut out. But I might. I just might watch it. Oh, making the waves go. On the podcast. This might not even be recording. I don't know. Who knows? Probably only let one friend, maybe two, listen to this. If I can be humorous in this horrible abyss of depression. I'm going to talk about this. is that when you're on SSRIs for such a long time as I have been, or the MAOI inhibitors, something happens, and it happens to my dick, is that it just doesn't get hard, and I have no interest in sex whatsoever. And I used to. I used to have a lot of interest in that. Now I just think, what a chore. What a chore, an unnatural, uneasy chore that I shouldn't have to put up with. Just this stuff where there's pleasure involved, where I have to perform, I have to do stuff. And if I'm going to be in a sexual situation, then this female is going to have her orgasm. Me, I rarely do because I'm on medication. And now that I'm older and I don't really give a fuck, I have a hard time getting a hard dick. So that makes it really hard to have an orgasm. So right now, I don't really care. It's been quite some time. And I just don't care. It simplifies life when you don't have to worry about sex. Much, much so. Porn, don't even like it right now. I'm old. You know, I'm an old man, 48 years old, barreling down towards 50. And I put a lot of extra miles on this body, you know, figuratively, I put a lot of extra miles on this body. I've had an interesting life, very interesting life. Some things I want to forget, and some things I like to remember. And there's a lot of beer-soaked, drug-addled memories, but they're okay. Now I'm finally addressing the depression, looking it in the eye, and slowly going down on some meds and tracking those meds, and I'll be on them the rest of my life. Well, I can't go off them, but all hell would break loose. You hear of people that talk about going off their meds and they go insane because they feel good. They feel fine after about, you know, 3 to 6 weeks of meds. And then they think, you know what, I feel so good. I feel so good after taking these meds that I'm just going to stop taking them. I'm going to stop taking them because I feel so good, I'm cured. And that usually will bring on a massive, massive depression or a massive manic episode, phase, whatever you want to call it. I think I already said that. But the mania is beautiful. You can sleep 2 hours a night, fuck 9 or 10 girls in a day. You can spend money that isn't yours, all kinds of credit cards. Good God, what is one summer? I was in Southern California living on, well, there are these things that they'll send you checks. They used to, Visa and MasterCard. I got a lot of those when I graduated from the University of Minnesota with an English degree and an economics degree. Thank you very much for clapping, yes. The economics was hard, but I really loved it, and it's beneficial because now I know how things work, but I don't want any sort of job in that field. It's too hard. It's much too hard, and there's not a whole lot of jobs in that field in the first place. There really isn't. It's a very close society. You pretty much teach, teacher's assistant, teaching, adjunct teacher, which makes about 18 grand a year. Speaking of adjunct, one of my dear, dear friends from 6 years old, Andrea Rutzer, is an adjunct professor, the assistant athletic director at DePaul University. And strangely enough, her and I attended the University of Minnesota at the same time, but since that is 65 plus thousand students, we never ran into each other. You don't just run into someone in a place that size, you know, our hometown that close to double, close to double of that place, and I never really ran into people. Ran into one person that I knew just, you know, offhandedly in the middle of nowhere, and I didn't really know her anyway. But she comes back to see her sister and hangs out, and her and I are good friends, and I just hope that one day we might be more than friends. Who knows? She's got a really old husband, and he's rich. So maybe one day he'll kick, and she'll get some extra cash and say, hey, Brent, why don't you come out here to Chicago? It would be really good for you, and I could get you some medicine. I think all I really need are some, you know, some SSRIs. I'll stay with my Luvox and go on to Paxil. I've gone on Prozac. I've taken Wellbutrin. Almost killed me. I've taken Effexor. Almost killed me. There's a few more that I can't remember. You see, that's how good that my depression was. 7 years of depression. The lost weekend. Well, at least it was okay because I got to see a bunch of television shows that I probably saw, but I didn't really pay attention. So then when I kind of came out of this depression, I slowly decided to like look back and see what happened during the time I was checked out. All I was doing was pretty much going to the bathroom and eating. And that was fine. That was good. That's what you need to do. Sleep. I don't think I slept much. I wasn't well. My mother was in a nursing home at the time. She had two massive heart attacks. My father has died. My dad died in 2004, pardon me. And a few words on that. When the old man died, it was the first time I had anyone that close to me die. So I didn't really know what to think. And he and I weren't particularly close. So it really didn't matter that much to me. He was very argumentative. He was a control freak. He OCD'd up the ass. And well, he didn't take it up the ass, but he was OCD up his ass. Once again, figuratively, as opposed to this literally shit going around right now. I think I'd rather have the coronavirus than have to listen to literally any more coming out of everyone's fucking mouths every two sentences. Or the phrase at the end of the day, fucking can't stand that one. If I ever hear that one, someone's getting beaten bad. But I didn't feel that much pain when my dad died. It was a shock, sure. I loved the old dude. He was an okay guy. But the only way we bonded was through sports. We didn't have much to say to each other. Educated man, smart, just in different ways. But I was reminded that when Joe Strummer died, I wrote in a Facebook post that said, I don't even remember my father dying compared to how much Joe Strummer's death hurt me. And then Johnny Cash, the greatest man to walk this earth, when he died, I was devastated for months, even though he had his wife, June Carter Cash, had died 3 months before. And Johnny, he always said, once I lose June Carter, I won't have a long last. And it was within 3 months that he did die. And he, well, whatever, if there is an afterlife, or if there is one, if there isn't, if there is, he will see his June Carter and he will be happy. And I hope he is. That's one of the few things that I hold out religion for. I hold out on organized religion because of Johnny Cash, because he was a man of faith. He was troubled. Many flawed times, drugs, booze, you name it, he had a hard time putting those things down. And then he did. Then he did, and he put out arguably his best work in the 90s, early 2000s. His work with Rick Rubin on American Recordings is just absolutely phenomenal. I can't describe it. It's just joy, pure joy. Joy everywhere, all over my face when I hear a Johnny Cash song from those years. I do like his country work, particularly from the 70s, where he was just a complete badass. Going down, kicking lights out in Nashville and from the Grand Ole Opry, whatever the fuck it is, getting banned from there like he gave a fuck. So he even came to Minot, North Dakota and played at the Hoost Fest. Largest gathering of Scandinavian folks in the world. So Johnny, I actually shook his hand when I worked at a horrible Mexican restaurant. I drive in, and I see this big fucking bus, And I think, great, we got a bunch of fucking Norwegian people who do not speak the goddamn language and they're eating subpar Mexican food. Thank God I came in early. But thank God I did come in early. And when I say thank God, it's just a way of saying, well, wow, you know, put it as a point of punctuation to listen to this. So thank God I did go on, because I got to shake Johnny Cash's hand and I said hi to Miss June Carter Cash. Very important time in my life. I was 19. A lot of new things, a lot of great things. Bad things too, but mainly great. Being 19 is amazing. 19 was just the year. I grew 4 inches. I could slam dunk a basketball any way you wanted to. Fucked more women than I can even remember. Canadian girls mainly. Wow, they are just crazy. And every one of them smokes too. Didn't have a problem with that. I've never smoked a cigarette. But goddamn, I lit a lot of them for them. I smoked a ton of marijuana. Ton of weed. In that was from the time I was... Well, 1997, I smoked as much marijuana as I could get my fucking hands on. And I would spend $200 for an ounce. That's how old it is. I could buy it by that kind of volume and not worry about for smoking for quite some time. But I always shared. I was a good dude. But going back to being 19, what a year. What a fucking year. So I met Johnny Cash and I'll move on from there. Well, there are some pretty good stories. Moved into my first apartment with another guy who I worked with and got a couple of girlfriends going at the same time, and I'd be fucking one and the other one would be at work and the other one would be going to school, and it worked out great, except for the one I really didn't like. Her and I stayed together for way too fucking long. God, dated her for almost 2 years. And that relationship should have lasted 6 weeks. Well, maybe 2 weeks. But it should have, topped out at 6 weeks. 42 days would have been nice. Would have been a great thing. Would have been awesome. We might still be friends and fucking, I don't know. Then, I'm going to jump forward and fast forward to about 1995 or 6. I ended up with a girl who was the love of my life, and she attached herself onto me when I moved to Minneapolis, and then she started fucking everyone except me in the neighborhood. Girls and boys, she didn't really care. She just wanted to fuck it. And that breakup was hard. We didn't really have much of a friendship unless we were drunk listening to music. She's just trouble to begin with and trouble to end with, and I hope that the poor guy that's with her right now realizes that and just fucking distances himself from her, because she is a lying sociopathic bitch, just a hair away from a psychopath, just murdering people without changing the expression on her face, very much like Michael Myers in the William Shatner Captain Kirk mask in Halloween, the no look, because he didn't really care. Human beings are just objects. And you don't have to think about anything about them if they're on your way. Just, you know, just slice them wide open. I could very easily see her executing a murder without a problem. She would think about it. She was fairly smart. She was a good smart girl. And she could do that. But I don't know much what's happened to her. I don't know. We were really close. And then just the floodgates opened and ruined my life for a little while. I don't think about her. She's my past. Past is done. I'm working on myself. Well, not anymore, since all the SSRIs and all these depressions and the add-ons that do give the libido quite a hit. Yeah, I do have quite a few girls throwing themselves at me now that I look really, really good. But I don't care. I don't care. It wouldn't be nice to kiss a girl. I haven't done that in a little while. But I don't really care. The only girl I care about is my little drug dealer. She's not an attractive girl, a little short and kind of chubby. But she gets me what I really want the most. Marijuana. So I can put it in a pipe and smoke it. But now, I don't need her for a little while. And it's getting to be 4:20. We're almost there. A couple weeks. So I'm going to head down to just outside of the Fargo-Moorhead multi-state, multi-city, West Fargo-ish, East Moorhead place. Because my friend with cancer, he's got his medical marijuana card. So I'm going to tote his fucking ass up to the dispensary. I'm going to give him $500 and tell him to go in and get some edibles, some gummy bears, and a shit ton of relaxing weed where we can just sit around and laugh. And I'll be taking probably an ounce home. And I'm greatly looking forward to that because I put myself on a couple months off here just to figure things out over my hip. I didn't want to be fucking around with any of those drugs. I was taking oxycodone while smoking weed, and that got a little bit weird. I was a little bit paranoid and started to get really depressed after that. I like day smoking. I'm a day smoker. And I would just feel like such a complete loser, which I still do. But that's what I deal with. I probably am a complete loser. I don't know. Who's to judge that? I get things done. I still learn every day. I love to read, love to work out and read. Good at that, so might as well stick with it. I would also be, I don't want to talk about that. So I just want to go back about depression here. I'm 48 years old. I'm sitting in a big comfy chair with some Green Bay covers, watching a little Joe Rogan, just see what he's talking about, see what's going on. I love his interview with Penn Jillette. Excellent, funny stuff. His Dan Aykroyd, his interview with Dan Aykroyd, great. Dan Aykroyd is a wacky motherfucker. But, you know, he devotes most of his life now to alien, UFO alien research. And he's claimed to see a UFO, and I don't disbelieve him whatsoever. There are more things in this world than we can care to dream of. Sweet Horatio, or however that goes. So there's so much we don't know, and so much I'll never know, and so much I don't want to know. You know, there are things that are better off unknown. I'm 100% convinced there is a Bigfoot Sasquatch kind of going on, but I'm going to take a break.